the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both men and women, infant and suckling, and ox and sheep, camel and donkey. And Saul gathered the people together, and he numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek, and he laid wait in the valley. Verse number 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest unto Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. Looking over to verse number 13 of the same chapter. And Samuel came to Saul and said, and Saul, he said unto him, Blessed be thou, the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Verse number 22. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Jesus, we love you today. We are thankful for your word. I'm asking God that you allow your word to be quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Allow us, God, today to hear what the Spirit has got to say to the church. We give you praise, glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. As a people and as a generation that has never crossed the boundaries as we are seeing today, I believe that now more than ever before in the history of the world and in the church, that as a people of God and as those who are seeking in their lives wanting to become a people of God, that the time in this dispensation of grace has brought us to where it is we who need to make our election and our calling sure. What I'm saying to you is, if you are in the church, then it is you who needs to be the one who holds fast a profession of your faith, nothing wavering. And if it is you who in your life are seeking to live and to turn your life over to God by allowing God to begin to transform that of your old life into being brand new, then it is to all of us that are here this day and in concerns to all of whom, but you know the time of sitting on the fence of indecision and the time for we as a people of God to quit playing church by having one foot in the world and the other in the church is what sooner than later, as far as your eternity is concerned, it must come to an end. And if you in your life ever wanted to know what life would be like in the end times pre the second coming of Jesus Christ, as in concerns to the state of our world and the world around you, then all you got to do is pick up a newspaper, listen to the news, pay attention to all that is going around you, on around you. And as far as the Bible is concerned, I believe that it is we as a people who are getting a bird's eye view. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew, chapter 24, reading verses 6 through 8. Here the Bible says, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message titled, The Consequence of Partial Obedience. The Consequence of Partial Obedience. See, when it comes to God and to His will and to His purpose for our lives, I believe that ever since the beginning of the creation, it is God who in His desire in creating us, that He, God, did so with an intent that we as His creation would obey Him. Meaning that we would do what it is that He, as our God, asks us to do by following His instructions, by hearkening to God's word, in order for you to experience true life along with the many comforts and the benefits that come with it. But unfortunately, ever since the beginning, this request from God has not been observed. So, well, why is that? Well, because we as humanity, ladies and gentlemen, were created with that of our own human will. Meaning, even though God requests of us obedience to Him, the truth is, in concerns to humanity, people can and they will do what they and what you want to do, whether or not God wants you to do it. The reason is because God has given to each of us a free will. And so if you choose to be stubborn, if you choose as a soul to choose not to obey Him, in the end, it is your choice. I can do what I want. And yet if you look back into the Old Testament, you'll find how that is not how it was. It was not so that way. In the Old Testament time, it was almost definitive. You sin, you paid the price. You rebelled, you paid the price. Right from the child that disobeyed their parents and being hauled up by the people and their parents leading the pack, and they go out of town because they warned you once, twice, and they told you, don't you do it, don't you rebel, and they would stone them to death. People that would pick up sticks on the Sabbath day. You do something outside of the line of God under the Old Testament plan. It was defined. The line was drawn, and the consequence was paid. But today, in the dispensation that we're living in, if you really want to face it, folks, you know, nobody really wants to have to live a life of sacrifice. One where you're willing to give up something in your life that you really feel that you believe that you don't want to give up. I don't want to do that. I don't think that's really necessary. And we can start with that of the root of all evil, your money. God requires what? Well, I don't think so. You mean He, God, says I have to, that I'll need to, that in my desire to live for Him, to serve Him, I will, that I must be willing to? Really? Now, stopping for just a moment in order for you to think about what I just said, and when considering mankind, way back in the beginning, you know, back in the Garden of Eden, in God's earthly paradise, Adam and Eve, who you could say that they had everything going for them. Along comes the serpent, and he who introduced the idea of what it was that they as humans were missing out on. And instead of first Eve hearkening unto the voice of God, and Eve and then Adam, instead of the rebellion in their own spirit of self-will, they chose to listen to the voice of the serpent. And so they in turn both partook of the forbidden fruit, as the serpent's words no doubt echoed in their minds, yea, hath God said. You know, Adam says, Eve, I know that God said all that, but it isn't about him, it's about us. It's about what we want. I mean, if what the serpent has said, well, just think about it, Adam, what it is that God is holding back from us. The serpent comes to God's people to this day. Really? It's not about him, it's about me. It's my life. You listening to me? It's what I want. It's how I want to live. It's what I figure is right and what I will call wrong. The book of 1 Samuel, the writer writes in 15:22, Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, than to hearken, than the fat of rams." Saul, you're told to utterly destroy, wipe them out. And so what do? You bring back the king. That's insult. And then you bring the injury. You bring back the best of the flocks. Is that what God didn't tell you to do that. But you could say, well, King Saul, you know, he obeyed what God had said. But Saul really only obeyed what God had told him to do partially. The consequence of Saul doing this was God's judgment. What did it cost Saul? His kingdom. God took that kingdom right out from under his hand. The subject title today is not one that is foreign to God, nor is it foreign to we as humankind, for the Bible is full of its examples. Examples of those who in their lives chose or choose partial obedience. And along with this comes the first two words, the consequences of partial obedience. So I want you to know at any time, in fact, every time, it's you who chooses in your own mind to obey God partially, haphazardly, as it's you who sees fit to how you will obey and as much as you feel you're willing to. I'm here to tell you today that the consequence of such a form of partial obedience in the end will not bring you about a blessing, but instead it'll bring to you a curse. So the reason is because God's call for you and I to obey him is not a call for a hap commitment. It's not a call for only a partial consecration in your life to him. Just give me some of it. No, I want all of it. Today, when it comes to your serving God and God's desire to redeem your soul from an eternity without him, he died on Calvary. He shed his blood while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He took us away from a life where we would be cast from him. It is a life that calls for nothing less than your 100% commitment to him in return. Greater love has this than this, that a man would lay down his life for us, for his friends. And he said, "You're my friends if you do whatever I command you." That's a love story. And today it's not only the Bible that is full of its accounts of those who chose to live and to exist in a life filled with their partial obedience, but in the day and in the hour in which we are living, more and more among us and about us are those who too have chosen in their lives to also offer unto God their service to him as a partial obedience. Yet, what it is that people today in this grace dispensation, for whatever reason, they've allowed their minds to come clouded from seeing how that the Bible is also full of its records of consequence of those who had done as well. So what it is that I'm referring to when I'm saying the words, the consequences of a partial obedience, what I'm saying to you is living a half-life, only allowing God to rule over certain parts of your life without your surrendering all. That is one of the biggest mistakes we as child of God could ever make. This afternoon, what it is that I'm seeking to attempt to do is to bring to the forefront of your mind the very fact that all who in their lives who choose this path, in the end, will have only fooled themselves, but will be their eternal existence that will be one wherein God and the presence of God will be absent from them. Absent. Gone. No more. Deleted. Let's look at the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 verses 22 and 23. Matthew chapter 22, many, Jesus said, will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, it's in these two verses of Scripture that Jesus was not addressing, and he was not speaking to those out in the world. Yet Jesus was talking to his church, and in reference, he's talking to us. And today, under the unction of God, my desire in this message thought to you is to seek to help to steer you, if necessary, your life away from you ever becoming trapped in the world of a half-life, and you're living your life for God. The reason for this is because of the consequence that people will face as a result of their choosing, of your choosing to live a half-life in both your obedience and your servitude unto God. Your obedience to God's word, your obedience to God's voice. Well, it is you who understands that the command along with the commandments are not up to yours or anybody's private interpretation. As it is God who, while you live for him, is the one who calls for your full obedience. Not just to his salvation plan, but to everything that comes along with it. It's not just repent, get baptized in Jesus' name, get the Holy Ghost, and go on. No, partial obedience, my friends, is not, it'll never be in the end, will produce for you an end result that you might have expected. Because every time in your life choose to only partially obey God, along with that of your choice, it will surely follow a negative consequence. See, Adam and Eve, they chose to partially obey God, and they partook of the forbidden fruit. Consequence, they were cast from the garden. Cain chose to partially obey God in regards to bringing a sacrifice. Consequence, a rejected sacrifice. Moses, even though he did great things for God, in a moment of maybe frustration with the people, he too partially obeyed God, and he, Moses, smote the rock instead of speaking to it. And for him, the consequence was for Moses being refused entry into the promised land. You'll see it, but because you chose to only partially obey, you'll never enter into it. Let's go back in time just a little ways for that Moses out tending to his flocks. Let's go back to that time when God speaks to him and tell him to go into Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Let's go back in time to the plagues that God performed at the hand of Moses. Let's go back to that time when the people, when they left with a high hand out of Egypt, and the Israelites headed towards this promised land of God's, and there they were holed up against the Red Sea. What did Moses do? God told him to tell the people to stand still and see the salvation of their God. And he raised up his rod and the Red Sea parted. Let's go to that time when they crossed the Red Sea and they looked back and the enemy that they saw, God said, you'll never see him again and the waters return. Let's go back to that time when God rained down manna before the people. And now let's go to the time when God, through the people and because of Moses, he said, speak to the rock. And Moses was angry. Maybe he was frustrated and he didn't speak to it, but he swatted it. Consequence, you're not coming. You'll never enter in. See, I'm talking to you about partial obedience, and really the stories could go on and on with those who chose to only partially obey God, those who in the end faced with it consequence. And today what it is that you'll discover how that many are they who God had called out of their life of darkness, out of their life of rebellion, out of a life of addiction and dysfunction unto a life to be shared and to be lived with him. Each one of us today, we're called out of that world. We're offered salvation. But over time, it was they, and frankly, it's even some among us who are choosing and who have chosen to live a life of partial obedience. And if it is not they, along with you, who wakes up maybe to realize that the road that you have chosen to go down it is a road that will lead you unsuspectingly to nothing other than your eternal demise. I thought I was all cool. You know, I pay my tithe and I show up at church. Okay, I don't do about 50% of the other things, but, you know, I didn't think I have to. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Here is the love of God. Here the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men would count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, where he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You see, it's God who tells us in his word, pardon me, about that place that he's gone to prepare for us. But it too is God who sets out to warn us of another place that initially was prepared for the devil and his angels. But it will become a place that will include the likes of those who in their lives who choose to offer and to only offer up to God a partial obedience. He didn't make it for you. The Bible says some have made a covenant with death, and in hell they are in agreement. Let's return now back to our scriptural text found in the book of 1 Samuel 15. In 1 Samuel 15, 1 through 5, it's here that we find the prophet Samuel relaying to King Saul the Lord's instruction to go and to smite Amalek and to utterly destroy all and to spare not, but to slay both man, woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, donkey. In verse 7 says, yeah, and Saul, he went along and he smote the Amalekites and from Havilah until thou comest to Shur over against Egypt. All right, Saul, you obeyed God's command, right? Verse 8 and 9, as we read today, he took King Agag, the Amalekites, alive, utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword, but he spared Agag, the best of the sheep, the oxen. Partial obedience. Come on, Samuel. I saved the best for God. You know, it was a token of sacrifice. And to God, I did what God had commanded. I just took the rich spoil. Now, King Saul, ladies and gentlemen, might have believed that he obeyed God. Thought he did a good thing. But his obedience being only partial, really, to put it plainly, what did Saul do? He did it his way. Saul did what he wanted to do. 1 Samuel 15:23, where it says, rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. See, church, saints, friends, today, I want to bring this thought home to you. You know, yeah, I got rid of that. You know what the pastor said and what God wants me to do, but what he and God don't need to know is I have hidden. Right, yeah. Partial obedience. I believe I couldn't really begin to tell you how that over the years, as I've counseled with people in ministry and concerns to what it is that God requires, what it is that the Bible says, God's word, that they need to get rid of, to change, to quit wearing, to stop going, to get out of their house, etc. See, I could also stand here to tell you when a person and people decide in their lives to quit following God like they should, well, snap. It's just like that. Well, look at that. The clothes come out. The world, the entertainment suddenly comes back. The things that they had in their lives that they said, you know what? They're gone out of nowhere. They're back in their lives as if they, my friends, were never really gone to begin with. I thought you said you got rid of that. I did. It was in the closet. I hid it away. And I've been faced with people over the years, and this is tragic, but it's true. Hey, you know what? If one church allows me to do what I want, well, another one says that I should not. Well, it's simple. I just go to the other church that says I can. Partial obedience. Partial obedience. If another church says I don't need to be baptized that way, as somebody else tells me I don't need the Holy Ghost evidenced by speaking in tongues, if people around me say it doesn't matter how I live in concerns to holiness and separation from the world, and this church does, well, Maybe it's this church that's wrong and everybody else is right. Wrong. Let's look at the book of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Jesus answering said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, reading verse 17. The Bible says, Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Turning quickly to the book of 1 John chapter 2, the epistle of John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Here the Bible says, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it is of the world. See, we're living in a day and an hour wherein people on every hand are living their lives in and outside of the confines of God's church under the banner of partial obedience. You can go up the street to this church. You can go down to that church. You can cross, go to another town, another city, and in this church, and maybe in that church. And you say, well, they allow this, and you don't. And they can do this, and we can't. And they can go here, and we don't. And on go. And you say, well, what's going on? I'll tell you what's happening in the day and hour we're living in. The walls are going wider. It broad becomes the way. Many in the church world, along with those who are in the world, are choosing to live their lives by only following and only listening to what it is that they want to hear, thereby either omitting some of God's commands or by their only choosing to follow God under the banner and under the guise of them doing whatever it is that they want. As you seek to fit God in, but what they and even possibly some of you that are here today don't realize is by doing so, for you're choosing to partially obey, the final result in your and in their life, my friend, is going to be something which you don't expect. It won't come without its consequence. Partial obedience will draw its line. I used to tell people, you know, we always like to work, and we work for a couple of weeks, what do we like at the end of the day? We like the paycheck. We like, you know, coming home with that money and putting it in the bank and paying the bill. Well, guess what? We're gonna live this life for God, and however we choose to live it, how much we dedicate our life to God, and the day's gonna come where payday's gonna come. There's rewards gonna be given out in heaven. There's also gonna be consequence for partial obedience. So today, if in your desire is to truly be with God one day for all eternity, I want you to know you're not going to get there by choosing to only offer God partial obedience. God, my friend, wants nothing less than your all. That's why it is God who had Matthew who writes in Matthew 6:24 the words that no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What does Joshua declare in the book of Joshua 24:15? Choose you this day who you serve. And Joshua closes that very verse. Was as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I've defined here. I'm going to live for God whether you do or don't. I'm going to just stand for God whether you do or don't. You know, if you want to do that, you take your chances. I'm going to stay away from that fence or that cliff as far as I can. I'll walk along the wall if I have to stay away from it. There surely is a consequence when it comes to partial obedience. Well, on the same hand, there only awaits God's blessings when it comes to that of your total obedience to Him. See, when Abraham proved to God the fact that he was ready to fully obey Him, not only was he not going to spare the life of Isaac, he was going to take it for God. And God, when he saw that, he went to completely bless Abraham's life. From that point on, stop. I realize you're going to hold nothing back. You're going to kill the son that I gave you. As we're around the corner today, once again, God knows. And once God knows, once he perceives how it is in your life, you're going to obey him without you're looking for loopholes. Then it'll be your life that God will lead and guide you right up until the day that you get called home. He'll bless your soul. Your life might not be a continual rose garden, but once it is you who chooses to completely obey God by giving him your all, by holding nothing back, you, my friends, can say this, you will be blessed. In John, the book of John, chapter 9, John chapter 9, verse 7, you find the blind man who was told to go into the pool of Siloam to wash. What did he do when he came back? He came seeing. The lame man of the gate, beautiful. In Acts chapter 3, when it was Peter who called out to him and said, look on us. When he did, he took him by the right hand, by the right arm, and what did he do? He rose up and walked. Total obedience. It was the 10 lepers in Luke 17 who, when Jesus had told them to go show yourself to the priest, that when they went, they were cleansed. Again, in the book of Luke chapter 9, when Jesus asked the disciples to make the people sit down in companies of 50, 5,000 of them. When they obeyed Jesus' words, it was there that Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and gave everybody to eat and took up fragments. In each of those examples I've shared with you just now, it was the people and the disciples' total unquestioning obedience that allowed them to become a miracle or to be able to experience a miracle. Amen. Let me share this with you today, your opportunity for you to experience your own personal miracle. Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 2. I want a miracle. I want to experience that, what God has to offer. In the book of Acts chapter 2, as we know all very well in this church, the Bible says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the promise, you see, is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And if you're here today and this promise from God has already been bestowed upon you, then let me encourage you as you walk this walk of faith to never allow your life to get to where it's you who are on your way towards your glory, to your eternity, that you decide to cease from giving Jesus Christ your all, but instead it's you who chooses the broad way by only determining in your life under the banner of partial obedience. Don't stop this walk. Don't turn to the left. Don't go to the right. Keep on walking. Look up, because your redemption's drawing nigh. We're living in a day and an hour. It's going to get real serious, really hot, really fast. I was looking at a paper a couple of weeks back, and they're talking about this locust. They used the words in this little write-up, and it said, in biblical proportion, these locusts were eating and devouring. And you think about off the coast of Vancouver, how many earthquakes. And you think about here, the earthquakes, the pestilence, the coronavirus, and diseases, and sickness, and famine, and the climate change. You're going like, what are you talking about? It's no longer the time to play kitty cat with God. He's coming back for a people that are looking and longing for him. See, live for Jesus, friends. In the end, that's all that's going to matter. Come. Deuteronomy. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. You got to live for God. You got to live for God. What does Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 tell us, folks? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? With all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You got to love him with everything. You can't love the world and God. You can't straddle the fence of Christianity and worldliness. You can't say, I want a bit of the goodies and I want a bit of God. I don't know about you today, but my decision, my choice is not going to be one to partially obey God. For that kind of life will not be one that will bring with it its blessings. It will one day prove to you to bring its curse. I've often thought about the Old Testament times as I close. I thought about, you know, what did God do? They just spoke judgment. They just did it. You sinned, you paid. It was done. And I thought, you know, sometimes, God, it might do some people real good if you just show them that this isn't funny time, that what you said you mean, that you mean it. But it's grace. Let's stand. See, partial obedience or total obedience, the choice is completely up to you. I'm going to open up this altar in just a moment. I'm going to invite you to come and to set your eternal course, I pray, towards heaven as you determine in your life to fully obey God and all that God would have you to do. But I don't like it. But that's not going to matter. The Bible says, behold the love of God. And on the other hand, severity. Determine in your life to obey God. So it is you who will utter the words, well done, as God utters the words, well done, thou good and faithful. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Why don't you come today? Why don't you talk to God? You need to pray. Where are you right now? Where are you at?
This temple to you, Lord.
You need a day and an hour, folks.
We dedicate.